So who is Jesus? That's the question today's gospel reading from Matthew begins with. The disciples report that the people believe he's a prophet, someone who speaks truth to power, someone who acts as the conscience of a people so they might choose to do what is right in God's eyes. And Peter, though, goes one step further. He says Jesus is the Messiah, God's anointed one sent to save God's people. In other words, Peter declares Jesus to be sent by God to reveal the path to healing and wholeness. And I don't mean personal healing, at least not just personal healing. The expectation wasn't that a Messiah would come to save individual people, but the entire nation of Israel. All of God's people. Peter believed Jesus was meant to heal the world, and it's in Jesus that Peter put his trust. And it's such faithful trust that Jesus then declares is the bedrock of Jesus' community, which we might today call the church or the body of Christ. Now, some read that passage to mean that Jesus was declaring Peter to be the bedrock. I guess I read it. And that Jesus is declaring the faith of Peter to be the bedrock. So, those that come together to support and help each other to follow Jesus' teachings are that community that is formed on this kind of faith in Jesus and Jesus' teachings and his life. And if we are to be that community in our world today, if we're to put our trust, our faith in Jesus, in his teachings and his life, then perhaps we should also reflect on that question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? We might call him a prophet, a teacher, a healer, a friend, someone who wants the best for us. There might be other ways that you relate to Jesus. My own understanding of him from scripture and Christian tradition is that he embodied God's divine love and in that way was anointed or blessed by God for a special purpose in his life, which was to bring that healing love to the people and reveal to us the path to our wholeness. His life was a gift to us that we might find our way to harmony with the divine presence in whom we find our meaning, our true selves. But now we might wonder if we should really trust our lives, our entire being, to following the teachings of this person who lived 2,000 years ago. Because we might look at the institution of the church that is supposed to represent Christ. And have some doubts. The church has been responsible over the centuries for atrocities like the Crusades, the Inquisition, the destruction of indigenous cultures. And today, many very visible parts of Christianity openly support racist and nationalistic and fascist politicians and attack and persecute the LGBTQ community. The church has never been perfect because it's made up of imperfect human beings. And the problem with movements is that in order to survive long term, they become institutions. And then, because we are perfect people, imperfect people, institutions tend to forget why they were created, and it becomes only about the survival of the institution. They begin to cling to power and to powerful people. They create scapegoats to rally their followers. However, we are not asked to put our faith in the church. We're maybe asked to be the church, but that's not what we put our faith in. We put our faith in Jesus, in how and why he lived his life, and how he taught us to live our lives. We are asked to trust the path that Jesus lays out for us. So it's our trust in the healing and unifying power of love that is embodied by Jesus that forms the bedrock upon which the true community of God is built. It is love that forms the strong foundations of the body of Christ. When Peter declares his trust in Jesus' path, a path that can heal the world, Jesus responds with what he says is the key to the reign of heaven, the key to walking God's path of love and healing, the path of peace, hope, and justice. And Jesus says, whatever you declare bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you declare loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that's a confusing way to say it. But I think what he's saying is that whatever we do on earth in this life, we also do to and for God. I think it's another way of saying that whatever we do to the least of these, we do to God. When we feed someone who is hungry, we feed the divine presence. When we refuse to give someone food, we're starving the divine presence. Jesus blurs the boundaries between the divine and the world we live in, between God and us. The key to the way of love is realizing, I think, that there is no boundary. We're all linked together through the divine presence. We're all of one essence, created from divine love. The centrality of love, love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy, love yourself, is Jesus' core teaching. And as I believe, the strong foundation we can stand upon to weather any storm. The Apostle Paul encourages us to stand on love as well, telling us we should become living sacrifices to God. Don't conform to this world, which lusts after wealth and power, he says, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds. Put your trust in God's love and shift your thinking from worldly thinking to divine thinking, from what's in it for me to how can I make this world better. Divine thinking sees the world through an abundance of love. Instead of hoarding, love shares. Instead of seeing the evil in the world and falling into despair, love looks at the world and sees the healing potential. If we were to come together and support each other as the body of Christ, the world sees the uniqueness of people and thinks there's a problem, that we're all supposed to be conforming, interchangeable tools to be used by those in power. But in the body of Christ, everyone's uniqueness is understood as beauty and possibility. Paul points out that divine thinking requires humility. We're not any more important than anyone else. We each have our own role and purpose and should be celebrated for who we are and what we contribute. We're called to embody love in the world, but we are each called to be love in our own unique way. And therefore, Paul says we shouldn't judge anyone, perhaps other than ourselves. Think about Paul's metaphor of the body of Christ. The nose can't be the ear. They come together as part of the body, but they serve very different roles. The nose can't dismiss the ear's importance because the ear doesn't do a very good job of smelling. They aren't meant to compete with each other, but to complement each other. Likewise, each of us is only qualified to discern and decide whether we are following God's call for ourselves. We can't judge others who might be called in different ways. We don't walk in their shoes. Our gifts are different. We're not meant to compete with each other, but to complement each other. To bring our gifts together to form the body of Christ. To form community that stands on the strong foundation of love. And when we come together in humility, non-judgmental, and trusting in the power of love to support each other in community, then we begin to heal and find our wholeness and harmony with God. And this healing and wholeness Salvation isn't something that happens only in heaven after we die. The kingdom of God, the way of love, the body of Christ, these are all names for what God desires our current reality to be. We're meant to not wish for it someday, but to actually live it here and now. Healing and wholeness isn't something that is thrust upon us, but something we have to live, to work at, and practice. And I think maybe that's what Jesus might have had in mind when he told the disciples not to tell anyone he was the Messiah. I don't think he wanted his followers going around just talking about how someone is going to save everybody. When we're waiting to be rescued, we sometimes begin to think of ourselves as helpless victims without agency. We become trapped by our fear and anxiety. But God's way is not passive. Jesus, I think, wanted his followers to put love into action in their lives. To use Paul's words, he wanted his followers to be living sacrifices, to be examples for others, to live as if every thought and action were a prayer to God, to give their life as a gift to God, as Jesus' life was a gift to them. He wanted them to be a helping, supportive community formed on the strong foundation of their trust in the power of love. He wanted to empower them and liberate them from fear so they would stand strong for peace and justice, so they would be agents for the healing of the world, vital parts of the community of Christ. And we too are called to stand strong on love, each in our own way, according to our own unique talents and gifts, our own unique way of understanding the world. It is only upon this strong foundation of love that will bring healing and wholeness not only to our lives, but to all of creation. Amen.